Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay, pretty good. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so what I was asked to speak about was this is literally the question that was sent to me. What has informed or inspired your own fashion choices, and how you took those ideas and added your own spice to them? So I'm going to share quickly like my story with you, inshallah ta'ala. But my story is going to begin after I graduated from the University of Medina. So I spent almost 7 years in Medina. I got a diploma in Arabic and then a degree in Sharia. And then I moved back to the States. And I was hired by Al Maghrib Institute. How many people have heard of Al Maghrib? Raise your hand. Okay, alhamdulillah. So I was hired by Al Maghrib Institute to teach classes on Islamic topics, topics related to the Sharia, obviously. And also came back to my community and I was getting more active. They were asking me to come give khutbas and so on and so forth. And I very soon realized that there are two types of people kind of pulling at me. There's two directions that people wanted me to take when it comes to the way I dress and the way I look and the way I present myself. First off are kind of like the religious folk who wanted me to come back and kind of look the part of a quote-unquote sheikh, right? They're like, you're a graduate of Medina, you studied Sharia, you're going to be giving khutbas and lectures and so on and so forth. So you gotta look the part. And there's a certain picture we get in our mind when we think of a sheikh, or we think of a scholar, or we think of a da'i. They look and dress a certain way. They sound a certain way. And so that was kind of what people wanted to see. On the other hand, there was Al-Maghrib. And Al-Maghrib, at that time, I was one of the younger instructors with Al-Maghrib. Actually, I wasn't the youngest. That's a big misconception. I'm not the youngest Al-Maghrib instructor. Probably, maybe the youngest looking. Allahu alam, I don't know. But definitely not the youngest. But, you know, that is kind of what they wanted to play off of. That he's young, he studied Islam, he was born and raised in America, and he can relate to the youth. And the way to do that is, that, well, they wanted to market me as being young and cool and hip. Their words, not mine. And one of the things that they knew about me was that I have a motorcycle. You know, I like riding. And so they took that and they kind of ran with it. And they said, okay, he's young and he's cool. And, you know, he's into extreme sports. And, you know, he likes doing all this kind of stuff or whatever. And then they put my bio together and I looked at it. And I read it, and by the way, my bio right now on the Al-Maghrib website is very similar to the one that was first there, which I'm still not happy with. But that, I looked at that bio and looked at their marketing strategy, and I was like, look, this is not me, right? I don't think of myself in this way. And I very distinctly remember the feeling of being pulled in these two directions. So there were those people who wanted me to fit like the traditional mold of what a sheikh or a scholar looks like, and then there was people pulling me in the other direction. And in that moment, like when that was happening in my life, and I just started teaching with Al-Maghrib, it was kind of stressful to kind of try and live up to people's expectations of what I'm supposed to be like. And then I remembered a piece of advice that one of my teachers gave me before I left Medina. One of the things I did before I left Medina is I went to my teachers, my sheikhs, my scholars, and I said, give me some final advice before I leave. And one of my sheikhs, he said to me, be an open book. And I was like, okay, cool. What does that mean? Right? I didn't say that to him. I was just like, oh, okay, thank you. I was supposed to, I guess, understand what that, and that, in that moment, I didn't really truly understand what he meant. Until I got home, and until I found myself in that situation, and then I realized what my teacher was telling me. And what he was telling me was that it's important that we are true to who we are. It's important that we're true to ourselves. That we can pretend to be other people, but in terms of you know, spiritual happiness and in terms of spiritual well-being and at, in terms of, you know, being at peace with ourselves, the only way that we can last and the only way that we can achieve that is if we're true to who we are. And so one of the things that I did is I refused to let people pull me in different directions. I refused to let people define me and define the way I'm supposed to dress and how I'm supposed to look and what I'm supposed to sound like. And I refused to do that because I knew that this is not something, number one, like, I don't think I could live with that. I think you can only pretend to be someone else for so long. You can pretend to, you know, you can act like someone else or whatever for so long until you yourself, you're unhappy with who you are, and that leads to other emotional and spiritual problems, number one. Number two is because of all of you. I believe that most people out there, people who listen to me and people who are going to listen to me, that's what I thought back then, that the people who are going to listen to me, that sooner or later, they're going to be able to see through you. That if you're being real with people, if you're being genuine with people, if you're being honest and open with people, people recognize that. And that is something that people can connect with. And I believe that there is a spiritual aspect to that. And you know, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Al-arwahu junudun mujannada," that souls are like conscripted soldiers, like soldiers that come together. Meaning just like soldiers, if you've ever seen like line up, right, like attention or whatever, they get into this perfect line, they're in sync, they're in harmony. Likewise, souls are like that. So souls that feel comfortable with one another, they automatically become harmonious with one another. And that's why I believe that beyond just speaking to individuals, when I speak to people, it's not just the words coming out of my mouth, I believe there's a spiritual aspect there as well. And the only way that, like I said, I can be comfortable with myself, and I believe the only way that people, you know, if there's going to be a trust, that trust is only going to last if people honestly believe that I'm being who I am. And so I made that decision way back then. We're coming on to, I think, about 6 years now that I've been teaching and giving da'wah and so on and so forth. And that's probably one of the best decisions I made at that point in my life, to be true to who I am, to not pretend to be someone else. And what that means is a few things, and this is like hashtag real talk. This is what the outcome has been for me. Number one, I'm happy with myself, right? I'm content with myself. I'm not stressed out about, you know, presenting a certain image or being someone or whatever. Number two, like I said, there has been, for me, there's been a lot of positivity. There's a lot of people who've come up to me, a lot of young people who I believe can see that. And that's what they've told me. And, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Allah knows what's in our hearts. But people have come up to me and they have been able to connect and relate to what I have to say. And honestly, the da'wah that I give, the things that I speak about, I'm like, I'm not bringing some new revolutionary concepts. When we talk about Quran and Sunnah and Hadith and so on, Tafsir and all these things, Sirah, whatever, this is not new stuff. Our scholars have been talking about this stuff for the last 1400 years, but it's about, does the message connect with the person that you're speaking to? And I think that's where, alhamdulillah, it's been very good. You know, I've had a lot of people who do feel like they can relate to my message. On the negative side, which I don't even really consider to be much of a negative side, there's still, till today, are those two parties that are pulling me in each direction, right? Till this day, I get messages, people come up to me, they're like, why do you dress this way? Why do you talk this way? Why do you whatever? Why did you do this to your hair? And why this and that? Whatever it may be. And I'm content because of a few things. Here's why I'm at peace with myself. Number one, like I said, I believe I'm being honest to myself. Number two, and this is, I believe, even more important, is that knowledge is power. Knowledge is everything. If you know what you're doing is good with your Lord and your Creator, then nothing else matters, right? So if I have learned the type of things that I'm talking, if I know what I'm doing, inshallah ta'ala, is not displeasing to Allah. I know that I'm staying within the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, you know, bikul saraha, in all honesty, in all openness, I couldn't care less about your opinion about the way I look or the way I dress. Right? And I often tell people, like, be good with, and I know this sounds cliche, right? But be good with God, right? And then nothing else matters, right? And that's why it's important to learn. It's important to learn when we're talking about clothing and dress. It's important to learn where the boundaries are, where the Sharia puts those boundaries. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us guidelines. Allah has given us principles. Allah has given us a framework. That doesn't mean, by the way, and a lot of people have this misconception, that we all have to dress and look exactly the same. And the more I have learned about Islam and the more I have studied, the more I have come to that realization that Islam was never meant to make everyone look exactly the same and make everyone behave exactly the same and everyone wears the same things. And that's Islam never, ever, ever, ever intended that. And that's why you go back to the time of the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. For those of you who don't know, by the way, I teach a class that deals with these issues. It's called Trends. We talk about culture and identity and even like fashion and clothing from an Islamic perspective. And so in that class, one of the things I talk about is some of the styles that the Sahaba had. You know, we talk about hair, for example, and you know, most people or a lot of people attend that seminar, they're actually surprised with some of the hairstyles that the Sahaba had. And one of the things that I mention after we talk about like hairstyles and all that, and I'm like, look, here's all these hairstyles that the companions had, like different types of hair. One thing that we don't find amongst the companions is them criticizing one another for their hairstyle. Right? As long as what they're not doing, as long as they're staying in what is permissible and what is halal, then we don't find them criticizing one another. And I believe that most human beings, maybe not everyone, but most human beings, we do have the need to express our creativity. Once again, I know it sounds cliche, right? And some people don't, some people are like, oh, I don't really care, right? But there are a lot of people, and I've always been in like the creative field. I studied graphic design and, you know, art and design. It was always very important to me, even pre-Islam. All of that was important to me. So, I see it. I see it with a lot of young people that are like, look, I have the need to express myself and be an individual and so on and so forth. And, you know, and that can go up and down depending on your age. That can vary. But if we know the guidelines, if we know the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we know where we can be, right? And then not only that, it's power, right? So that knowledge is power. It'll give you the confidence to express yourself, because someone can come to you and be like, this is not okay or whatever, and you can be like, look, you know, all that matters is, like, you may not like it. And I often say this, a lot of parents don't like for me to say this, right? But there is a difference between what is Islamically permissible and what people like and don't like. And I often tell people, like, look, it's okay for you to not like something because you just don't like it. Don't bring Islam into it if Islam doesn't say anything about it, right? You may see a style or a fashion or something that you're like, oh, I don't like that. And a lot of times the way people try to deal with that is the first place that they go to is, that's haram, right? Or that's not okay, or that's not sunnah, or whatever. And it's like, hold on, like, who made you a scholar? Like, where are you speaking from, right? And mostly it's just like, oh, I heard so-and-so say, or I found a fatwa online, or I found this or that, or whatever. That's how people try to justify. I'm like, look, even as parents, like, when I speak to parents, I'm like, it's okay for you to look at your kid's hair and be like, I don't like your hair, right? Like, I'm not okay with it. You're living in my house. I'm your parent or whatever. Don't cut your hair in that way. Don't bring Islam into it, because then you make Islam seem restrictive. You make Islam seem like it has set these restrictions that it hasn't. And yes, there are restrictions in Islam, without a doubt. There are guidelines in Islam. But don't misrepresent the religion of Islam. And likewise, I tell kids, I'm like, look, there may be something which is permissible, right? And if your parents are okay with it, that's fine. And if they're not, you know, you should take that into account. And I'll close, inshallah ta'ala, and I don't have a lot of time. I actually got to catch a flight. But I'll share one story with you, and I'll end with this. I was speaking at another conference in another city. I'll tell you where it was. It was Baltimore. The ICNA conference, which is, I believe, about the same size as this, as the Mass Conference here. And I was walking out of the conference center. I was about to cross the street in Baltimore, and I hear someone like running at me, like from behind, right? And then I hear someone like yelling my name. So I was like, Shekhzad, Shekhzad, Shekhzad. And like the person's getting closer and closer. And I turn and I look around, and there's like this kid running at me. And you know, he finally gets to me, and I'm like, okay, it seems like there's an emergency or something. He's out of breath, and he comes up to me, he comes right behind me, and like I'm about to cross the street. He goes, Shekhzad, I have to ask you, it's very important. Is my haircut halal? And I'm like, what? Like, that's the last thing I expected to like come out of his mouth. And I'm like so confused, like completely unexpected. And I'm like, wait, hold on. Like, what do you mean? Like, what are you talking about? He goes, you know, my haircut, is it okay or not? I'm like, why? He goes, you know, my dad tells me that I can't cut my hair like this or whatever. And I'm about to tell him, like, man, just listen to your dad. Like, if your dad doesn't like it or whatever. And then he goes, you know, can you, like, I've heard you say that this type of haircut is permissible, it's halal. Can you speak to my dad? And I'm like, what do you mean speak to your dad? He goes, my dad's at the conference. I'm like, okay. Right then, I would have said no. Like, I'm not going to speak to your dad. But like, can you please be okay with his haircut? Like, it's not gonna happen. But then he goes, my dad's at the conference. He's one of the speakers at the conference. He's a sheikh. And I'm like, what? I'm like, get out of my face. Like, get away from me. I wanna have nothing to, like, please go away. Like, don't, like, I don't wanna talk to you. Your dad is a sheikh and he doesn't like, and you're asking me, number one. And number two, you want me to go speak? Like, no way. Like, I'm like, I was just like so taken. I was like, no, just go listen to your dad. Right, number one, he's your dad. Number two, he's a sheikh, right? So it doesn't matter what my opinion is, like, go listen to your dad, right? And so the point of this story is, like, look, it's okay for us to have likes and dislikes, and, you know, there's things that are defined by our culture, and culturally we may not like things, and that's fine. But it's not okay to restrict Islam. And I believe that anyone who has really studied Islam and they have knowledge and understanding and wisdom when it comes to their Islamic knowledge, and they will see that Islam is indeed allows for the diversity that we find already within Islam, and that's pretty much that's what it is. Like, that's who I am, and I don't. By the way, the way I dress is not like I don't sit and think about like what exactly I should be wearing. I wear whatever feels good to me. As long as it's halal, that's what I wear. And that's why I don't give fashion advice. I don't tell people what to wear, because I'm like, that's not fair to you and it's not fair to me. Because I don't feel comfortable telling somebody to wear something because I don't know if they feel good in it. I don't know if it's good for them, right? So that's why I'm like, look, if it's halal, first of all, yeah, that's the first thing, right? It meets the criteria of the Sharia, first of all. But next step is, do you feel good in it, right? Because if we let people define beauty or handsomeness or fashion and style for us, we let people define it for us, it's a very slippery slope and it's very dangerous. And that's why we do see a lot of young people suffering from, like, you know, negative body image and self-esteem issues or whatever, because our society has defined beauty or style and fashion a certain way. I'm not cool with that. Are there certain things that I think are fashion faux pas? Yeah, of course, right? For example, one of the things I often say is, like, one thing that I'm not cool with is Crocs and socks. Y'all know about Crocs and socks? I'm like, that's not cool, man. Like, make up your mind. Like, what's the deal? Any type of slippers. Slippers and socks, like, what are you trying to do here? Either you want your feet to breathe or you don't, right? So pick one or the other. With that being said, if that's your thing, like, you like wearing Crocs and socks and that makes you feel good and you feel comfortable and you feel like yourself in it, then who cares what I think, right? Who cares what someone else thinks? All that matters is that, like you said, you're good with God, you're pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you feel good about what you wear, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu. My driver is literally calling me right now. I'm already late. So I really apologize. I did want to take questions But I do have to catch this flight. But thank you all so much. I wish I had more time to talk to you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Takbir.